time frame. But on a more serious note, as Kara already spoke and alluded to, 129 confirmed since last night. All right. I was on CNN, and that was the last number that I saw. 129 lives lost, and another countless amount impacted by the devastation from the Paris attacks from Friday evening. The Islamic State takes responsibility for these ruthless and senseless acts. These come less than 2 weeks after a Russian plane crash in Syria killed 224 people, which many believe was bombed by ISIS terrorists. In Egypt? Okay. I'm sorry, in Egypt. All right. Unarguably, it seems that ISIS is making an impact in the world, albeit a negative one, right? But before I begin today's message, I just want to take the time to pray for those affected by the terrorist attacks this past weekend. You know, there's a new hashtag going on in social media, hashtag pray for Paris. But quite honestly, as we pray to begin this service or this sermon, really, not only do I pray for the people in Paris, but I'm reminded of that video that Kara showed a couple weeks ago during the persecuted church, and how even the man who persecuted someone who was a Christian said, pray for us. All right, and so even today, as we are in prayer for the people of Paris, let's also honestly be in prayer for ISIS. Be in prayer for their hearts and lives, because quite honestly, as much as we don't like it, Jesus died on the cross for them as well, all right? As much as we think, like, their evil is so great, we're actually going to look in the book today, and we're going to talk about, we're going to be Acts chapter 9. But even today, the man that a lot of us follow, and we get a lot of our doctrine in church, he was considered a terrorist at the time as well, all right? And so if anyone can change hearts, won't we allow that to be God? All right, so let's start in prayer. If everyone would just bow your heads. God, we come to you, just thank you so much for who you are, God. We thank you that even in the knowledge that we would turn away from you, that we would turn our back on you, God, you still created us. And not only did you create us in your image, God. And even now, there were lives who were lost this past weekend, God, in Paris. And we pray for the families of those lost victims, God. We pray that you touch them with a comfort that only comes from you. I pray that even in this moment, God, if there are some of those in their families who don't know you as their Savior, God, I pray that even in the midst of tragedy, God, may they see the light of who your Son is, because he was born in tragedy, God. You save us and you redeem us through tragic moments in Scripture. And so I pray for those families, God. I pray for the victims who were injured physically, God, but also psychologically. I pray for their emotions. I pray for what they're going through even now. Some of them may have lost some limbs. Some of them may just be dealing with just trauma. But whatever's going on, God, I pray that you just show yourself strong in their lives, God. Allow them to gain healing. But also, God, even in the scars from the healing, God, there is always that reminder. And so I just pray that you just comfort them as well. And then ultimately, God, I also pray for those who have taken responsibility for the attacks, God. The terrorists, the ones that we view as enemies, God. I pray for their hearts. If anyone can change lives, God, it's you. And I confess that sometimes we place you in a box, and I confess that sometimes we don't want people like that to come to a saving knowledge of you. But God, you died on the cross for them, God. You died on the cross for their sins. And so I just pray that you would touch that region in a way that is beyond our imagination, God. But I just pray that even some of them, God, may be spared in their getting caught up in the lies and the beliefs that they are in. I pray that you just help them to see a glimmer of hope and light that only comes from you. And so even as this morning, God, we are in prayer for the city of Paris, but ultimately we're in prayer for the world. We're in prayer Because you want to touch the lives and the souls in the world, God. And so be with us this morning. Allow us to be able to be open to your heart, be open to what you would want for us individually, God, as you want us to impact the world, God, in a much greater way than ISIS has. And so allow us to be able to be your people, to be your light in the midst of darkness. In Jesus' name, amen. So, as I stated before, ISIS is making an impact in our world, all right? A negative one, but they're making an impact. Regardless, you know, they are putting fear into people's hearts. We saw it on the video from Samaritans First. They literally put fear in lives, into people's lives that are in that region, all right? And they are flooding our news stations and other media sites. They are impacting the very fabric of our lives. Because quite honestly, when things like that happen, we're on much greater alert, aren't we not? All right, we're here even in our cushy life here in America. All right, we know that we are not immune to those type of attacks. We've seen it. All right, I have seen it with my own eyes. I know there are students in our youth ministry who have not seen the horrors of 9/11, but we have. Most of us, in fact, most of us in this room has lived through that. All right, and so we understand that even here in America, we're not immune to those type of things. And we've been impacted by those very same things. But the question becomes, how are we going to impact the world? If you guys don't mind, I'm just going to take my jacket off. It's a little hot up here. All right. So I was going to try to do it, but I can't because I sweat a lot. Thank you, Tony. All right. So, but we can make an impact as well. All right. What type of impact are we having, God's people, on the world around us? All right. A lot of us, we only see the negative. But God wants us to impact the world in a positive way. And so as we go into today's scripture, can we be open to that? Can I challenge us to be open to how God can maybe use each one of us individually? All right. And as we continue on, you know, many of you guys know my wife is currently pregnant. All right. Yes, please pray for us. Continue to. All right. I've been asked, like, are you ready? I'm like, really? Are you ever ready? All right. But, you know, my wife's pregnant, and it's a blessing to have my third child. And as Pastor Day said, this is going to be a boy. So I got one up on him. So Pastor Day, if you hear this one day, I apologize for that. But as many of you know, being parents yourselves, one of the biggest questions we ask ourselves is, what type of legacy am I leaving? All right. As a parent, even now, as a parent of an 8-year-old and a 3-year-old and then one on the way, I think about that. What kind of legacy am I leaving for my children? Many of you all are thinking that in your own way. What sort of impact will I make in my children's lives or in society in general? All right. We are people that want to make a difference in this world. I don't know about you, but all of us want to make a difference in some way, form, or another. We have teachers here, nurses. We have military personnel. We have people who are in social services. We have people who work in the government. We have people who do all types of stuff, real estate, sales, even salespeople make an impact. All right, I know because I do sales as well. Sorry, Bill, wherever you are. That's right, sales. All right, but we want to make an impact. In fact, this past summer, my family and I had the privilege of going to one of the best places on earth for vacation, Disney World. All right, it was fun for the kids. But as many of you guys can guess, you know, we spent the majority of our time in Disney World down in Orlando. We actually stayed off-site. I apologize, Schwartz's. I did stay off the magical place. All right, but it was very fun. It was a great, great time. Just ask Michaela. You just heard her say yes because she wants to go again next week. But as wonderful of a place and legacy Walt Disney has left behind, all right, because they actually talk about that in the different parks. There's history of, in Hollywood Studios, actually, there's an actual, like, place you could go to see the very impact of creation from what Walt Disney had envisioned to where it has come to fruition today. All right, but he's made a great impact. He's left us left behind movies, theme parks, all types of entertainment. But quite honestly, it pales in comparison to what you and I can leave behind for the kingdom of God. All right. As magical a place as the Magic Kingdom is, it doesn't have anything on the kingdom of God. All right. Because we can make an impact beyond what Walt Disney can do. All right. And so as we talk about today, one of the ways we can do that is through relationships that we build up in our lives. All right. One of the most empowering type of relationships involves discipleship and mentoring. All right. As we explore Acts 9 today, we're going to look at how God used an ordinary man to have an extraordinary effect on his kingdom, and even in our lives today. All right, a lot of us, when we look at Acts chapter 9, which we're going to go into, so if you want to turn your Bible there, it's actually page 917 in your pew Bible, if you have the pew Bible in front of you. But we're going to be in Acts chapter 9 today. A lot of times, most people focus on Paul, all right? Because actually, on my Bible, it says the conversion of Paul as the title. That's actually not part of Scripture, guys. I don't know if you know that. All right, they actually just wrote that in. All right, so in Greek, it does not say the conversion of Paul, of Saul on the top. All right, but we focus a lot on Paul and the whole life change. But what I want to focus on today is about one man who made an impact on Paul's life. All right, because at the end of the day, when we think about our own lives, a lot of us think of ourselves as ordinary, right? I'm just living my life. I'm just me, regular me. I live in a quaint little house, in a quaint little area, in a quaint little state called Maryland. And I go to a church in a quaint little place called Severna Park Baptist Church. And a lot of us, we just view ourselves as ordinary people. Most of us would say that, correct? We're all ordinary people. All right. And so today, I want to focus on that. Because through an ordinary man, it made an extraordinary effect on our lives today, all right? Through an ordinary man. And we're going to look at that. So we're going to start in verse 1 of chapter 9. I'll read through the scripture, and then we're going to stop at verse 19. So we'll start verse 1. It says, "But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now as he went on his way, he approached Damascus. And suddenly a light from heaven shone around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' And he said, 'Who are you, Lord?' He said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do.' The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And for 3 days he was without sight, neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, 'Ananias,' and he said, 'Here I am, Lord.' And the Lord said to him, 'Rise and go to the street called Straight. And at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he was praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight.' But Ananias answered, 'Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call your name.' But the Lord said to him, 'Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name.' So Ananias departed and entered the house. And laying his hands on him, he said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to him on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit.' Verse 18, and immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he arose and was baptized, and taking food, he was strengthened." All right, so as we look into this section, what I want us to focus on is really Ananias. I want us to look at Ananias and what he did for the kingdom of God, because no one really talks about him. All right, we talk about Paul, or Saul at the time. We talk about him. We talk about the change that happens in his life, and it's great, it's grand, it's wonderful. He gets blinded by the sight of Jesus and Jesus talking to him and telling him that, "You are persecuting me, Saul. Stop it. Go to Damascus, and I'm going to do something in your life." All right, we are wowed by that story. And we're like, wow, God can make a huge difference. But that happened because Ananias was willing to do something for God. All right? And so I want us to focus on Ananias' life. And I want us to understand that extraordinary can come from the ordinary. That you as an ordinary person can make an extraordinary effect in the lives of other people. All right? And so I want us to look at that. And the first part I want us to see is that, one, Ananias was sensitive to God's voice. Ananias was sensitive to God's voice. If you want to be an ordinary person that makes an extraordinary effect, you have to be sensitive to God's voice. All right? I love when it says in verse 10, now there was a disciple of Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias. And he said, here I am, Lord. Ananias was sensitive to God's voice. He heard and most importantly responded to the voice of God. All right? God said, Ananias. Guess what his response was? Here I am, Lord. So for many of us, sometimes our response isn't necessarily that. All right? Our response can sometimes be, what, God? All right? God says, Zach, I'm not going to listen to that right now. All right? And the part of me is, we're not sensitive to who God, when God is calling us. All right? And so Ananias was sensitive to God's voice. He heard and responded to God's voice. So we must be sensitive to the to God's voice in our lives. All right? First and foremost, you actually have to have a relationship with God to be sensitive to his voice, to actually understand it. All right? And so if you flip to one slide. All right? So have a relationship with Jesus. In order to be sensitive to God's voice, you actually have to have a relationship with him. All right? That is what we need to do. I love how it says a disciple at Damascus. All right, it didn't just say a man at Damascus named Ananias. It didn't just say a person from Damascus named Ananias. It says a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. All right, in order to hear God's voice, you actually have to have a relationship with him. That's where it starts. So for some of us, we don't hear God's voice because we don't know who he is. All right, and so for some of us, it has to start there. You have to say, God, I want a relationship with you. That's where it starts. If you want to do extraordinary things in this world for God, for the kingdom of God, you actually have to become a citizen of the kingdom of God. So let's start there first. It's like the government in America, all right? You actually have to either be a U.S. citizen to run for an office in America, all right? And you actually have to start there. You have to become a part of our country before you can run for office and make an impact in that way. So it's the same thing with the kingdom of God. Start with a relationship with God. So for most of us, we're not sensitive to God's voice because we don't have a relationship with him. The second part is we have to get rid of some distractions. So one, get a relationship with Jesus. Two, get rid of some distractions in your life. All right. Many times we don't hear God and what God wants us to do specifically because we have things in our lives that distract us. I don't know what that is for us. That may be a relationship. That may be relationships with maybe people who are dragging us down. Maybe it's a friend that we go to that we ask for advice from but don't know Christ. And so they give us bad advice or ungodly advice or just worldly advice. It may not be bad altogether, but it's not from Scripture. It's not from God. All right, and so maybe it's relationships that we have in our lives that we need to get rid of. In order to hear God, you got to get rid of some distractions. Second one, maybe it's some pursuits or goals that we may have. Maybe we're pursuing something that isn't what God wants us to pursue. And so for us, a distraction could be a career or a job or just the pursuit of money. Maybe it's certain objects in our life that we hold more dear than God. All right, and so in order to be sensitive to God's voice, you actually have to get rid of distractions. We all have cell phones, right? I actually sent mine back because it was messing up, and so I need to get it fixed. So I'm back to my old one. But even on my old phone, there's a function on there where you're on the phone that could get rid of background noise, right? Because a lot of times, you know what is bothersome? When you're talking to someone, all you hear in the background is people yelling, ah, like and you hear all of those things. I'm sorry. All right, so you hear traffic, you hear all these background noise. You're like, I can't understand you. Like, can you call me back when you're getting in a quiet area, please? All right, have we ever done that? Yes, we have. All right, and we hate background noise, but that's the problem. We don't hear God because there's too much background noise behind us. All right, there's too many things, too many chattery people around us that are blocking what God wants us to hear. And so you got to get rid of those things. All right, you have to clear that up. Get to a quiet place so you can hear God. So that's the second thing. So one, get a relationship with Jesus. Two, get rid of some distractions. And then the third one is get in line with God. All right, Ananias lined his life up with God. Ananias responded to God. Sometimes we hear God but don't respond to him. All right, let's be honest. Sometimes God tells us to do something and we totally flat out ignore him. We flat out just say, God, I don't want to do that. I know what you want me to do. Oh, I heard you. All right, and we get mad at our kids for that, don't we? All right, you tell your kid to do something like go clean your room up and they just keep playing. All right, I have a daughter, Leilana. She's notorious for this. Right. In fact, sometimes you'll say, don't touch that, and she'll grab it and run away. All right, and she'll like, and I got to go chase her, which is hard. All right, but, you know, sometimes we do that to God, don't we? Sometimes that's how we treat God. God says, don't touch that, or do this, and we'll turn the other way. It reminds me of Jonah. All right, not you, Jonah, but the book of Jonah, all right? The book of Jonah, where Jonah the prophet, God says, go to Nineveh in the heart of the Middle East. Go there, tell them to repent so that they can turn to me. You know where Jonah goes? On the water. Not in land. He goes to the water and gets on the water and says, I'm going 100% opposite of what God wants me to do. And so for most of us, we're not lined up with God. All right, we're not sensitive to God's voice because we're actually ignoring him. All right, and God has a call for our lives, and you need to line up with that because God can do wonderful, extraordinary things in your life and in the lives of others around you if you just line up with him. All right, respond to God and be open to what he'll do for you. So if you want to be an ordinary person making an extraordinary effect, sorry. I don't know how Pastor Dave does this. All right, but if you want to be an ordinary person making an extraordinary effect in our world for the kingdom of God, one, be sensitive to God's voice. The second part is be open to God's work. All right, and this is one of the hardest ones for a lot of us. In verses 11 through 16, I'll reread it. It says in verse 11, and the Lord said to him, rise and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered, Lord, have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has your authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. So one, not only should you be sensitive to God's voice and listen to what God wants you to do, but you actually have to be open to God's work and power in doing and accomplishing things. All right. Not only was Ananias sensitive to God's voice, he was open to God's work. He was listening to God and open to what God was willing to do. All right. That includes overcoming our fears. All right. That includes overcoming our fears. This doesn't mean that there's no doubt or fears in Ananias when he listens to God. Most of us do. All right, I've spoken to some of you guys about maybe helping in youth ministry, and there's a fear with children and youth ministry. I understand. All right, I totally understand that. Kids can be a handful. All right, and for some of us, it has stopped us from affecting the lives of others because we're fearful of how these kids are going to look at us. God says, overcome that. I can overcome all of that. All right, I could get rid of all of that. Ananias actually questioned God in his purpose in Paul's life. How many of us have ever questioned God in what he's doing in someone else's life? All right, how many of us have ever questioned, God, what are you even doing in that person's life? All right, how many of us have ever doubted that God could even possibly work in someone else's life? You know, it may seem impossible, but God can work in and through them. Because Ananias, he knew. Remember I told you that Saul at the time is what we would consider ISIS. He was a terrorist. He literally persecuted the church. And for most of us, we approach situations the way Ananias did initially. We approach it at face value. All right, we approach it with what we can see with our eyes. And Ananias asked God, and I love that word, but in verse 13, but Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard about this guy, this Saul guy that you're trying to tell me to go talk to. I've heard about him. Like, he's bound up a lot of people in Jerusalem. Stephen was stoned because of that guy. All right. And he has murdered, he has incarcerated your people who believe in you. And I don't know. Maybe in our own lives, there's that one person that we think God can't ever touch that person. God can't change that person's life. All right. For many of us, we think that way with even ISIS and those terrorist groups. We think God can't penetrate that evil. And quite honestly, what we do is we place God in a box. We say, God, I mean, you're strong and all. You know, you're omnipotent. Like, you're big, but you ain't that big. In our attitude, that's what we're saying to God. When we doubt that God can touch a person's life and change their life, that's what we do. We doubt him. And we say that, God, you're not big enough. You're not strong enough to make that type of difference in someone's life. And I wanna argue that. I wanna argue the fact that God is bigger than that. Because that's what God does. We talked about it in youth ministry this morning in Sunday school. God is in the business of doing the impossible. All right. God loves showing off. All right, we talked about it for those of you that were in Sunday school, we talked about Abraham. He had a kid at 100 years old. All right? 100. I'm about to be 32. I'm having my third. I'm like, what? Your first one? You know, and then Sarah, of all people, 90. Oh, my goodness. Are you kidding me? Like, anything past 45, we look at it like, oh, what's wrong with that person? All right? But God can do the impossible. All right, and we talked about that in youth ministry today about how God made Abraham and Sarah wait 25 years or so. That's a long time. And we even said this in youth ministry. We don't even like waiting for a hot pocket to cool down from the microwave, right? You know, it says on the wrapper, it says, after you microwave it, wait a couple minutes before you eat it. We don't. We take that thing straight out of the microwave with a cup of cold water. We take a bite, sip, all right? Because we're impatient. We're impatient people. And a lot of times when we look at what God's going to do, we put it in our timeline. We don't put it in God's timeline. We don't say, God, you control this situation, all of it, including the time frame, all of that. We don't like that, all right? Let's be honest. We don't like it. We tell God, all right, God, I know you can do the great thing, but can you do it, like, in this time of frame? Like, maybe by next Friday, you know, maybe by next payday we can do, you know, and we put God in that type of situation. But Ananias is open to God's work. He was open to know that, hey, God can work in this man's life. He overcame fears. I don't know about you, but if God said, Pastor Zach, go to Syria and go talk to the head of ISIS, I'd be like, God, what are you talking about? All right, I'll be honest, I would have a doubt in myself. I would be fearful for my life. That's what God was asking Ananias to do. This is the Saul was like the main, he was like the head honcho of this group that was getting rid of people that were Christians, going against Judaism at the time. Saul was leading that charge. Saul literally went up to the chief priest and said, look, I want to go up to Damascus, and I'm grabbing anybody that say they're a Christian, and I'm bringing them back here, and we're going to take them to jail, and we're going to incarcerate them, and we're going to take them back. And if we need to execute any of them, let's do that, whatever it may be. That was Saul. Saul took the initiative to actually grab Christians and put them in jail. I don't know about you, but if I was Ananias, I would be scared. All right? I would be a little scared. In fact, I would be a lot of scared. God was telling Ananias to go talk to the main guy that is persecuting and putting Christians in jail. Yeah, I don't know how that would go across with you, but I would be fearful. But Ananias knew that God could work through that. God could work through his fear. So, applicatory-wise, for our lives, what is God calling you to do? What is God calling you to do? For maybe for some of us, it's as simple as God maybe is leading you to go to Nicaragua. Or next year, I think we're going to add a trip to the Dominican Republic. Maybe for some of you, it's the first time you're actually going to be outside the country. And so you're scared. Maybe you're saying to yourself, I don't know if I can do that. I'm going to say this, and I'll brag on Mrs. Wanda a little bit. All right. But it's okay, Ms. Wanda. First mission trip we took to Nicaragua was scary. All right. If you guys didn't know, that first trip, like 3 weeks before we left for Nicaragua, the orphanage that we were supposed to stay at, the kids actually got stolen by the government. All right. 3 weeks before. We actually didn't talk about it. Pastor Dave gave it to talk to us as a team prior, and he actually left the door open. If you guys change your mind, you know, I understand. It was scary. Actually, I don't think I told my wife about it until we got back. All right, because I didn't want her to worry. I know, it's a bad husband. All right. And it was scary. I actually made videos for them, like, not saying goodbye per se, but like, just being open to the fact that, hey, if something happens, I want them to know I love them. All right. And it was a scary time. It was scary. One, it was scary because I worked commission as well, and summertime was already hard, but I wasn't working. I don't know about you, but if you work commission, you don't work, you don't get paid. Right, Bill? You don't get paid. All right? Sometimes I work and didn't get paid. All right? And so it was a scary time for our family during that time frame. We had bills coming. You know, you still got a mortgage. You can go to Nicaragua, but you still got to pay, you know, whoever over here, Chase, you know, Bank of America, whoever owned your house at the time. All right. You think you own it, but you don't. All right. But you own the money and you got bills that will continue. I got family that I was leaving behind. It was a scary thing. And so for some of us, maybe that's the fear. Maybe we're fearful that God, I don't know if I can go to Nicaragua. I don't even understand Spanish. All right. So, you know, all I know is hola. All right. And that's pretty much it. Adios. All right. So maybe your fear, your doubt is that God can't use you. Guess what? God can. Nobody spoke Spanish that first year. I don't know about you. I don't speak Spanish. You might think that. All right. I know our first speaker thought I was Mexican. I'm not. All right, I don't speak Spanish at all. All right, I'm from the Philippines, and so I understand some of it. And it was the scariest thing because I was the only one that kind of looked like Nicaraguans. And they would literally walk up to me and start speaking, like, hold up. Like, slow down, un poquito, muy poquito. All right, and I'm like, hey, Jose, come here. What did they say? You know, and it's tough. It was a hard. Ever since then, we've actually had a Spanish speaker in all the other teams since that time frame. All right. And God has worked in a wonderful way in that way. All right. But don't be afraid because you can't speak Spanish. God can still use you. All right. You'd be surprised how much that little skit where you barely say anything and you fall on the ground, get dirty in Nicaragua, how much that affects their life and how much they see the gospel in that. So I don't know about you, but overcome your fears, overcome your doubts. For some of us, it may not even be that big. Maybe God's saying, I want you to work and do a ministry here in Severna Park. All right. Maybe God's saying, I want you, and this may be me dropping hints, but I want you to work in the children's ministry or the youth ministry or in the nursery. Oh, God forbid we got kids and babies here. You know, maybe God's saying, that's what I want you to do. Overcome your fears and doubts, guys. Guess what? Teaching a kid is as easy as getting trained. It's not that hard. In fact, I promise you it's harder to be up here talking to you guys than it is for me to sit there and talk to our youth. All right? See, because I kick stuff like that and I fumble over my words in front of adults. But I promise you, it's easier to teach children and more impactful to teach children than it is to teach adults. It's easier to do it, all right? And I want you guys to understand that we can get you trained. Don't worry about that. This is the easiest training, all right? And you'd be surprised. Maybe you don't like kids. I don't know, all right? Maybe you don't like kids, but you'd be surprised how much, if you start working with them, how much you start to like them. How much, in fact, I'll go beyond that. How much you love them. I'm sorry, kids. All right, that's big news for you guys. Like, what? Adults don't like us? That's why they put you downstairs. No, I'm joking. That was a joke. No, we love you guys a lot. All right, but at the end of the day, really, like, God maybe is calling you to work in children's ministry. We would love to get you involved with impacting our children's lives. All right? Impacting, quite honestly, your children's lives, as Pastor Marty said 1 week. All right? We would love to be able to do that. Overcome your fears. Overcome your doubt. Maybe for some of us, it's starting a ministry. Maybe God's saying, I want you to reach these people group or this people or, you know, reach your coworkers. Overcome that fear. Overcome your doubt. Be open to God's work. Be open to God's power, because our God's a big God. All right? Our God created the world by speaking. He didn't move his hands. He didn't, you know, we make all these, like, a clay ball and Play-Doh. I love seeing kids with Play-Doh. God didn't create the world that way. God said, let there be light. Boom, there was light. God said, let us do this. Boom, it was there. Like, I don't know about you. That's a powerful God. All right? I can't create anything by talking. All right? Ask my wife. I'm like, wash dishes. Oh, it don't work. All right? I can't even get my kids to do anything sometimes with my voice. All right? You know, sometimes you got to grab them like, can you please go do what I asked you to? All right? And so, I don't know about you, but that's a big God that we serve. And, like, in my prayer earlier, I confess, I put God in the box sometimes. All right? I put God, and I minimize what God can do. That's not what Ananias did. Ananias was open to God's work. And then lastly, be obedient to God's call. Verses 17 through 19, so Ananias departed and entered the house. And laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately, something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he arose and was baptized, and taking food, he was strengthened. The best part about Ananias being open to God's work is that his openness led to obedience. All right? If you're open to what God can do in your life, it should lead you to obedience to what God is calling you to do. All right? So you have to be obedient to God's call, because true faith in God's power and work in someone's life is obedience to God's voice. You have to be obedient. All right. In James, it says, faith without works is dead. And for some of us, we talk a big game. For some of us, including myself, we talk a huge game about what God can do. But a lot of times, we don't walk in that game. We don't walk in our talk. I had a friend growing up. He had this saying, don't talk about it, be about it. Don't talk about it, be about it. And a lot of times we just love talking. I was that kid in school that got in trouble almost every day, moved around the classroom about 5 times in 1 quarter, all right, because I talked. Now I get paid to talk, so it's fine. All right, but back then, like, I love talking. I love saying these things, but sometimes it's not just about the talk, it's about moving in what God has called you to do. And so going back to what I said, for some of us, we had those fears like, I don't know. I feel like God's leading me to go to Nicaragua, to go to a mission trip, to go work in this ministry. But I don't know. I love what Ananias did. It says he departed. He departed. And so in the last slide, Chrissy, it says you got to get up and leave. All right, for some of us, what does that mean? Get up out your comfort zone. Leave your comfort zone. Literally, leave your comfort zone. One of the things I love seeing when we go to camp with the youth is seeing them get uncomfortable. It's the funniest thing, but it's also the greatest thing, because God works in their lives. When they start working with kids that don't look like them, when we're in the heart of Philly, I promise you, our kids are not used to that kind of environment. All right? And we were in the hood, all right? I'm not trying to scare you, parents. I apologize. But God protects us in ways that you can ever imagine or think. My first missions camp from this church, it was myself, Tony, and actually Stephanie was pregnant then, too, when we went. That was Leilana. All right, we went to Philly. I remember driving into this neighborhood. And we actually, that year, we stayed together as a church group because they actually could be split up into different tracks and different ministries stuff. But we stayed together as a group. I remember driving to this one neighborhood. I'm making a turn. Kids like, Pastor Zach, are we lost? Like, did you make a right turn? And then I pulled over like, nope, we're not lost. Get out. They're like, what? But it's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable feeling. But guess what? In that uncomfortability, that's when you rely on God more. In that uneasy feeling, that's when you actually look to the heavens from where your help comes, as that psalm says. All right? That is when you actually tap into the power of who God is in your life, the Holy Spirit that God has given you. Usually comes out when you don't know what you're doing. All right? And so you that is the best area. And so for us, sometimes we got to get up and leave our comfort zone, all right? And then you got to go over and do. Be about it. Don't just talk about it. Be about it. If you are about spreading the kingdom, spreading the gospel, and impacting people's lives, actually impact their life. So as we close, because you guys have been spoiled for the past 2 weeks with these speakers, letting you guys out at 11:45. I don't know. I got to talk to Pastor Dave about who he picks next time. But we all know about Paul. We all know about the majority of the New Testament was written by Paul. From the letters, the epistles. All right. We know about Paul's life. We don't really talk about Ananias. In fact, Ananias only shows up once in Scripture. Acts chapter 9. We all know about the extraordinary men and women in our time frame, they have done extraordinary things. People like Billy Graham, R.C. Sproul, Martin Luther, John MacArthur, Tony Evans, D.L. Moody, Elizabeth Elliot, Joni Erickson Tada, C.S. Lewis, Martin Luther King, who made impact for God's kingdom because someone else was obedient. See, we know those people. We don't know who led Billy Graham to Christ. We don't know who witnessed to Billy Graham. We don't know who witnessed to C.H. Spurgeon. We don't know about those people. But guess what? They've made an impact because they impacted that person. So I'm going to ask us, who in our lives can we impact for the gospel? One person. We all know that story of the guy walking along the beach. This storm has put all these starfish and all these other, you know, animals onto the beach. And he's out there picking one up, throwing it, and there's thousands of them out there. And somebody asked him, what are you doing? You're not making a difference. I made a difference in that one. I made a difference in that one. And so for us ordinary people, you can make an extraordinary effect in the lives of someone else. As we go into our new year, as a church, we're actually, we want to try to implement some new or greater emphasis on discipleship, all right? That is going to be our impact. Actually, Pastor Dave, Kara, and I had a working dinner. And it was good, too. But we had a working dinner talking about discipleship as a church, all right? Because we don't just want to evangelize and get another notch in our belt of somebody else came to know Christ. We actually want to build disciples for Christ. We want followers who are willing to go out there into the trenches and disciple someone else. All right, and a lot of us, we have this skewed vision of, and I'll say this, multi-level marketing, and I don't like it at all either, all right, but Jesus was the first multi-level marketer. Think about it. He impacted 12, who impacted thousands, all right, and so for us, we can be an Ananias. A lot of us, we know we can't be a Paul. I promise you, I know I can't be a Paul, all right. In fact, I don't even think there'll be a Paul like anything in my life one day. I know I'm not going to add to the Scriptures, that's for sure. All right, and I don't think I'm going to plant churches the way Paul did in Asia Minor and in Europe. And Paul made an impact in the lives of others. But I promise you, we can all be an Ananias. We can all be that ordinary person who who makes an extraordinary effect in someone else's life simply by being sensitive to God's voice, being open to God's work, and then ultimately being obedient to God's call. We can be ordinary, making extraordinary happen. Let's pray. Dear God, as we come to you, we thank you so much that you use regular men and women, God. We are thankful for the fact that you use broken people to bring healing to the lives of others. We thank you so much that you came to this earth and you showed us what humility looks like. You actually left your throne in heaven to be like us. And you weren't born with a lot of pomp and circumstance. You weren't born with all these announcements. God, you were born in a lowly manger. You were born in a stable surrounded by animals of all things, God. And you did that because you wanted to show us that you can use even the meekest of people to make a huge impact in this world. And so as we go into this time of reflection, I pray, God, that you just touch each and every one of our hearts. Let us leave this place knowing that even as ordinary me, you can use ordinary me to make an extraordinary impact in this world for your glory. Because ultimately, God, we want to glorify you with our lives. And so we thank you. We praise you for all that you're doing in our lives. Be with us the rest of this week to be an Ananias, God, in the life of a Paul. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As the worship